الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. And again, Allah gives us an opportunity to learn and study the beautiful lives of the best of Allah's creation after the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Allah has given us tawfiq to study the lives of those who Allah chose. Allah has selected them. Allah chose them to be the companions and the disciples of His most beloved creation. Every Sahabi was chosen. And Allah is giving us tawfiq to learn and be inspired by these beautiful lives. This Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, is a brother of the Sahabi we discussed recently. And you all would remember, hopefully, Abu Hudhayfa ibn Utbah, radiallahu anhu. When he arrived in Medina Munawwara, Abu Hudhayfa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the Muhajireen and the Ansar. The Ansar were newer to Islam than the Muhajireen. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated their effort so much, and their ikram for the deen, and their sacrifice. Their sacrifice towards the deen of Allah ta'ala, for the sake of Allah ta'ala, and for the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held them in high esteem, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed them so much of love and gave them so much of du'as. Anyway, the first effort in Medina was to bring brotherhood between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted unity to prevail. That mahabbah and unity, because deen was to remain forever and ever. Unlike the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قُومِهِ خَاصَّةٌ وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ عَامَّةٌ. Every Nabi, Anbiya alayhim salam, was sent to a specific tribe, a specific nation, a specific nationality. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to every tribe, every color, every race, every language, every nationality till the day of Qiyamah. So his nubuwa transcends all bounds of race, nationality, color, or creed, or region. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent for all. So he taught the ummah from day one the quality of brotherhood. How to love your brother, your Muslim brother, like you more than you love yourself. And not to judge him for his color, creed, or race, or language, or nationality. Allah give us this beautiful quality of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imbibed in them from day one. So this brotherhood, who was Abu Hudhayfa's brother? None other than Abbad ibn Bishrin, Abbad bin Bishr, radiallahu anhu. What a name, what a name. Abbad ibn Bishr, the ardent worshipper, the devoted worshipper, the one who's devout in his worship towards Allah. And you'll see how his name had an impact on his beautiful life. He embraced Islam during the early Medinan period at the hands of none other than Mus'ab ibn Umair, that Muhajiri that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent in the path of Allah to Medina Munawwara to invite to Allah. What a change Mus'ab radiallahu anhu brought, that among the early people, even before Usayd bin Hudayr and Sa'd bin Mu'adh embraced Islam radiallahu anhum, was the Islam of Abbad ibn Bishrin radiallahu anhu. And he greatly supported Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu in his efforts in Medina Munawwara. The Sahabi was so great. Aisha radiallahu anha says, ثَلَاثَةٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ. There's three Ansari Sahaba that no one can supersede them in virtue. Aisha radiallahu anha says, no one can supersede them. That's the statement she makes. كلهم من بني عبد الأشهل. And all three are from the Banu Abd al-Ashhal tribe. The tribe in Medina Munawwara. Banu Abd al-Ashhal. Number one, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Number two, Usayd ibn Hudayr. And number three, Abbad ibn Bishrin. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate their beautiful lifestyles and learn about them. What made Aisha radiyallahu anha say this? Allahu Akbar. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu was a lover of the Qur'an, just like that of Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhum. He loved the Qur'an. His life was devoted to learning, sharing, teaching the Qur'an al-Kareem. I was so amazed now. I was reading how Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was such a senior Sahabi. He used to sit by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma and learn the Quran Kareem and improve his knowledge on the Quran Kareem and improve his tilawat of the Quran Kareem. Let's learn from there. How Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't look at age, that I'm too old now to improve. Allah forgive us. Today for everything else we want to improve and advance and progress, but for Allah's sake, in Allah's deen, regarding Allah's kalam, we satisfied the way we are. Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us. Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu used to go to Abdullah bin Abbas and he used to learn the Quran Kareem radiallahu anhum. So Abbad bin Bishr was devoted to Quran Kareem. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu describes the lover of the Quran and the student of the Quran and the bearer, hamalatul Quran, the bearer of the Quran. The word in Arabic is very interesting, hamala. Hamala is the plural of hamil, the one who bears the Quran and learns the Quran and imbibes the Quran in his life and her life. The similitude of this word is like a woman who's pregnant. The same word is used in Arabic, hamil. And look at that woman, she can't eat what she likes or go where she wants or dress the way she likes. She has to consider that fetus in her womb, in her bosom all the time. Like the mu'min who's devoted to Quran Kareem. And such a mu'min, Quran will defend this person and protect this person and accompany this person, he or she, in this world, in the grave and in the after. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ بِلَيْلِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ نَائِمُونَ وَبِنَهَارِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ مُفْطِرُونَ يَصُومُ إِذَا النَّاسُ مُفْطِرُونَ وَبِحُزْنِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ يَفْرَحُونَ وَبِبُكَائِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ يَضْحَكُونَ وَبِخُشُوعِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ يَخْتَالُونَ. It is imperative for the bearer of the Quran to be known different from others. When others are asleep, he is awake. When others are feasting, he is fasting. When others are laughing, he is crying and worried about humanity. When others are laughing, he is crying. And when others are boasting, he is humble before his Creator. And that's exactly what Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu was. He was one who was concerned for the hereafter, forbearant, calm, loving, compassionate, and kind to humanity. And he was a master in the Quran Kareem. Allah blessed him with such a voice that was captivating, encapsulating every person who learned from him or went past him or were his students or came to study by him. Everyone who heard him was captivated by the tilawat of Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu. Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing tahajjud in my home. Tahajjada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi bayti. Fasami'a sawta Abbad ibn Bishr. And from his home, he can hear Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu's voice from inside Masjid al-Nabawi. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, sawtu Abbad ibn Bishr in hada? O Aisha, is this the voice of Abbad bin Bishr? She says, I responded in the affirmative. Allah's Nabi made dua for him. Allahumma ghafir lahu. O Allah, you forgive him. Allahumma ghafir lahu. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. How fortunate. The Sahabi, he gains Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. Very often, he used to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company. And very often, he would sit with the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, sharing and discussing the matters of deen, and the taqazas of deen, and the knowledge of Allah's deen. Anas radiallahu anhu reports, this comes in isti'ab, like the previous report of Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, that Abbad bin Bishr and another Sahabi. Afterwards, Ibn Abd al-Barr rahimahullah explains the other Sahabi was Usayd ibn Khudayr. So these two Sahaba radiallahu anhum were by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussing some important matter of deen. And the night was very, very dark. Fi laylatin dhalma'a handasin. A very, very dark, pitch black night. And when they had left, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu had a stick in his hand. And it is also the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to hold a stick. Ulama explained that after the age of 40, one should actually hold on to a stick, and there's great reminders in that. A person is reminded all the time that one is a traveler in this world, and also there is humility in it, and it is a sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. فَأَضَاءَتْ عَصَى عَبَّادِ بْنِ بِشْرٍ حَتَّى انْتَهَى عَبَّادٍ. As the two of them were walking home, it was so dark, the stick of Abbad radiallahu anhu illuminated. It brightened and it became like a torch, miraculously. And as the two of them are finding their way through the light of the stick of Abbad radiallahu anhu, he reaches his home. Now the other Sahabi has to continue. And then his stick he illuminates. Namely, Usayd ibn Khudayr radiallahu anhu's stick illuminates. So how beautiful was Sahaba radiallahu anhu's beautiful lifestyle. Every now and again, Allah is to show them special, special signs. This was because of their piety, because of their ta'alluq ma'Allah, because of their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq also, that we should attend the masjid, attend the talks of deen, the lessons of deen, the majalis of iman, the majalis of dhikr, on all occasions, whether it's light, whether it's dark, we should go and we should attend, we'll see Allah ta'ala's special help. Ibn Sayyid al-Nas rahimahullah quotes this incident in beautiful poetry. He says, وَلِنُورِ عَبَّادِ ابْنِ بِشْرٍ آيَةٌ وَابْنُ الْحُضَيْرِ بِمِثْلِهَا لَمْ يُسْمَعِي. He says, how amazing is the incident where Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu stick illuminates and Ibn al-Hudayr radiallahu anhu stick illuminates in the same manner. This is something unheard of in the world, but this is Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Allah give us tawfiq to emulate their beautiful lifestyle. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, so he was a brother of Abu Hudayfa bin Utbah radiallahu anhum. They both were very, very close and they did so much together. They served Allah's deen together. They strove in the path of Allah ta'ala together. Abbad radiallahu anhu was very hospitable. When the Muhajirin used to come to Medina Munawwara, he also offered his house for the Muhajirin to stay. Who stayed by his house? Utbah bin Ghazwan radiallahu anhu. So Allah give us tawfiq that we should also, like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, give our houses. Let pious people stay. Let Allah ta'ala's friends stay. And from our house, food should come for pious people to eat. You know, the servants of Allah ta'ala, feeding Muslims, feeding new Muslims, feeding Allah ta'ala's servants, feeding people for Allah ta'ala's pleasure, then Allah will bless our homes more and more. Another amazing trait of Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu was his bravery. Allahu Akbar. He was brave and he was one who strove in Allah ta'ala's path. He participated in every expedition. From Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Hudaybiyah, Hunayn, Tabuk, and every expedition with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stood out in every one. In every one of this, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, portraying such bravery and courage was Abbad radiallahu anhu. To such an extent how brave he was, even Umar radiallahu anhu attested to that. It was during the expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq, where Abdullah bin Ubay, who wouldn't join the Sahaba generally, because at that time it was just the Munafiq who would stay at home. Every Sahabi used to participate. It was the temperament of Sahaba to strive in Allah Ta'ala's path. And their women folk would also encourage them, go for Allah's sake, move in Allah's way, strive in Allah's path. Sadly today, for business we're ready to travel, for work, for recreation, that we're ready to go. Okay, shukr, we also go visit family. That's also very important. But for Allah's sake, in Allah's path, to talk about Allah's deen, to invite to the deen of Allah, to invite to the greatness of Allah, that we're not prepared to do. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq to do that also. So Abdullah bin Ubay would not come out because he was a munafiq and he was known for that. But on this expedition, Banu al-Mustaliq, he did come out with the Muslims and his purpose this time was, every time he stays behind, hoping that the Muslims lose. But when the Muslims return victorious, he would burn and get very, very irritated and upset at that. So this time he realized the only way, and also when Muslims were attacked by different enemies, Abdullah bin Ubay gave the secrets away and actually was played a hand in them coming to attack the Muslims. Abdullah bin Ubay actually was part and parcel of that. On this expedition he said, I'm going to join them to cause discord between them whilst I'm amongst them. This was his sinister plan this time. So during this expedition, alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, Juwayriya radiallahu anha became the great wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. And through her embracing Islam and becoming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed wife, more than 100 of her family and her people embraced Islam because of the akhlaq Sahaba radiallahu anhum showed to the captives. So a lot of achievements happened on this occasion, and there was a lot of wisdom in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedding Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. But what also happened was, Abdullah bin Ubay was taking every opportunity to cause fitna. Like one occasion when there was an argument between someone from the Muhajireen and another from the Ansar, Abdullah bin Ubay started spreading fitna. And he said, see what these Muhajireen do. Because he originally came from Medina. See what these muhajirin do. And then he said, yeah, you fatten your dog and the same dog will eat you tomorrow. So this was a statement he was spreading, Abdullah bin Ubay. And then he said, when we get back to Medina, the most honored will kick out the most disgraced in Medina, from Medina. And Allah mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, يَقُولُونَ لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah quotes, he says that the most honored will kick out the one who's disgraced. Allah says, عِزَّة belongs to Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ, and to Allah, and to His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the believers, is عِزَّة. And Allah Ta'ala turned his own son against him. Abdullah bin Ubay's own son turned against him. And his son was a great Sahabi. Abdullah bin Abdullah bin Ubay. Now his son's name was Hubab. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed his son's name to Abdullah. His own son disgraced his father because his father was harming Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to such an extent, and he was trying to cause discord amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was he encouraged Sahaba to move faster in Allah's path and move more in Allah's path. Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Kandahlawi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Hayatul Sahaba brings this chapter under a topic that when there's fitna, move more for Allah, strive more for Allah, Allah will eradicate the fitna. Beautifully he proves that system of Allah with this incident. Then what else Abdullah bin Ubay did was, he spread false rumors against the blessed consort, the blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, spreading fitna between Aisha radiallahu anha and Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal radiallahu anhu. And this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very much. And Abdullah bin Ubay was spreading this fitna very, very greatly. To such an extent, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, my opinion, Mur Abbad ibn Bishrin, send Abbad bin Bishr, he's the man, he'll finish off this fitna, he'll finish off Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. So my point is, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to send Abbad bin Bishr, because he was a man ready for the taqaza presented by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on many occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would appoint him on important tasks, like in the battle of Tabuk, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu was in charge of the Jamaat of Sahaba who were guarding the entire camp. Abbad ibn Bishr was in charge of Hirasa. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted him so much that he was appointed on important tasks. And not only in Tabuk, on other occasions as well. In the Hayat al-Sahaba, there's a hadith of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And Jabir radiallahu anhu reports this hadith, wherein he says, and this comes under the chapter, performing salah whilst out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning sahaba would increase in salah in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So we always perform salah, but in Allah's path we should increase. In this hadith he says, we were out in Allah's with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi ghazwati dhati al-riqa', in an expedition called dhatu al-riqa'. And we passed an area called Nakhl. Nakhl means date palm tree, but here it's the name of an area. And then there was some incident that happened there, and the Muslims continued. فَجَعَلَ يَتْبَعُ أَثَرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. There was one man who was looking for the Sahaba, and looking for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and Sahaba camped in a certain valley. And then Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم made tashkil of Sahaba. مَنْ رَجُلٌ يَكْلَأُنَا لَيْلَتَنَا. Who would guard this night? يَكْلَأُنَا. Who would guard this night? So one Muhajiri got ready, one Ansari got ready. And who were the two? The Ansari was none other than Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. And the Muhajiri was Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided them on how to guard in the path of Allah, and said, where should you all keep guard? Where should you all watch? And so forth. Now they both are sitting, and they're making mashura. That instead of both of us sitting the entire night up, that's half the night. One of us guard the first half, and the other the second half. So the Ansari was ready for the first half, the Muhajiri was ready for the second half. So now as Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu is guarding, and he's patrolling, he saw everything is safe, and then he said to himself, there's such peaceful moments, I'm alone, let me remember Allah, and let me perform Salah. And he starts, and he says, Allahu Akbar. And he starts his Salah, and as he's performing Salah, he's reciting, he's talking to Allah, he's enjoying his salah. Allah give us tawfiq. Salah is to be enjoyed. Salah is to communicate with Allah. One is in communion with Allah. Allahu Akbar. He raises his hands. The mu'min raises his hands. The palm should face Qibla, parallel to the ear and the shoulder. And then tie the hands. Complete submission. Sare makhluk se kat jaye jaye. Sirf Allah hi se jur jaye. Jur jaye. A person should break ties with all makhluk. And communicate and connect with one Allah alone. Every part of creation is behind one's back. Now one has to talk to Allah. This was how Sahaba radiallahu anhum performed salah. Like the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says so beautifully, a banda has two standings before his Allah. Lil'abadi, bayna yaday ar-Rahmani mawqifan. Two standings before his Allah. One is in salah, the other is in qiyamah. The standing on the day of judgment. The one who strives in fulfilling the haqq of the first, Allah will make the second one easy. And the one who neglects the first, the second will become difficult and will be hard for him. Allah make it easy for us. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate Sahaba radiallahu anhum as he is in his salah. What surah he was reading? He was reciting Suratul Kahf. Allah give us tawfiq, it is Friday. Recite Suratul Kahf. There's so much of virtue to reciting Suratul Kahf. There's so much of value. There's so much of thawab in reciting Suratul Kahf. In the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, in the riwayat of Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites, the one who preserves, memorizes, preserves 10 ayat from the beginning of Al-Kahf. In another report, 10 ayat from the end of Al-Kahf, he will be protected from Dajjal. In the hadith of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a surat al-kahf fi yawm al-jumu'ah. The one who recites surat al-kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah will give him nur from that Jumu'ah right till the next Jumu'ah. And many reports like this. Allah will give him nur the entire week. In another report, Allah ta'ala, this is the statement of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, he says, the one who recites surat al-kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah will give him nur from where he is right till Kaaba Sharif. وبين البيت العتيق. So there's so many reports. Abdullah bin Mughaffal رضي الله عنه narrates, البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة الكهف لا يدخله شيطان تلك الليلة. That home in which سورة الكهف is recited at night, شيطان can never enter that home that night. And Allama Alusi Baghdadi رحمه الله mentions in his tafsir that it is sunnah to read this on the day of Jumu'ah and the night before Jumu'ah. And then he says, يَنْدُبُ تَكْرَارُ قِرَاءَتِهَا. And actually it is encouraged to read it repeatedly. Meaning you don't have to read it once. You read it more times, you'll get more nur. Maybe you read it Thursday night and Allah gives you tawfiq. And Friday you have more time, you went early for Jumu'ah, Allah gives us tawfiq. Or before Jumu'ah you have time, you completed your cooking. And Allah, you got time, read it again and read it again. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So reciting Suratul Kahf. So Abbad radiallahu anhu was in the surah of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Whilst performing his salah and reciting the surah of the Qur'an al-Kareem, he was shot. Imagine the sahabi is shot. The arrow is inside him. He pulls out the arrow and he continues his salah. He doesn't want to break the salah. He's enjoying the Qur'an too much. And then he shot the second time. He tries to pull out the arrow. Then he shot the third time. And then he realizes, I'm on a task. If I'm going to fall short here, the danger will reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and my other companions, radiallahu anhum. He goes into ruku', he comes out from there, goes into sajda, completes, and wakes up his companion. He says, get up, ijlis, faqad uthbittu, I have been shot. The other sahabi, Ammar radiallahu anhu, gets up. And now, this man shooting them sees that there are two of them, and he realizes more are going to come, and then he runs away. Now the muhajiri, Ammar radiallahu anhu, sees how badly was Abbad radiallahu anhu injured. Blood is seeping from so many holes from his body. He says, Subhanallah, why didn't you awaken me the first time? You were shot. You waited to be shot so many times. He says, I was reading Quran. I was reading the surah. It was so beautiful. فَلَمْ أُحِبَّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَهَا حَتَّى أُنْفِذَهَا. I didn't want to stop the surah until I complete the surah. My intention was to inform you when I complete the surah. But he shot me again and again. And I realized, I had to inform you. He says, by Allah, if it wasn't for my fear of falling short in regards to a task, falling short in a task, in a work that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed me upon. If it wasn't for that,
I would have rather died and ended my life than to end the surah. But because it was this task that I was appointed to fulfill, was why I had to complete my salah quicker and end of where I had reached in the surah and awaken you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. كنت أصلي بسورة وهي الكهف. In the other hadith, I was performing salah and I was reading Surah Al-Kahf. فَلَمْ أُحِبَّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَهَا. Allah give us tawfiq to find such sweetness, such love of Allah Ta'ala, such ecstasy and enjoyment when performing salah and when making tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Allah give us tawfiq.
Abbad radiallahu anhu, being very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be designated to carry out very, very important tasks and taqazas of deen. There was a man in Medina Munawwara named Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, who was a senior and who was from among the Jews. His father had moved to Medina, wedded one of them, and he did the same, and he was considered part of the Jewish colony there. And he hated Islam from the beginning. And he made all out efforts to try and uproot Islam and extinguish the Noor of Allah Ta'ala, which is not possible. Then Badr took place and Allah gave the Muslims victory. This hurt him more. And what he then did was, he traveled to Makkah and he went to encourage the Meccans. Not only did he encourage them, but he started praising their leaders, and he went house to house praising the Meccans and degrading Islam and the Muslims and vilifying Muslims and sometimes personally taking Muslim women's names, praising their beauty in poetry, which was something taboo, because poetry was the media of the time, and what was rendered in poetry spread fast like wildfire, because the Arabs were a people who were dedicated to literature and language and memory, and poetry was what they remembered, and news spread fast of the happenings through poetry. So he would go house to house doing this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu and said to him, this is the task of deen, defend Islam from this man Ka'b bin Ashraf. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through wahi would inform Hassan radiallahu anhu of the whereabouts of Ka'b and who was hosting him, and Hassan radiallahu anhu would then expose them, those hosting injustice and those who were standing up for injustice. And at one time he was by Muttalib bin Abi Wada'a's house with his wife Atika. Muttalib's wife was Atika in Mecca, and Hassan radiallahu anhu exposed them, and they got very, very upset because now they're being exposed and their sinister plans against the truth is being exposed as well. So they had chased Ka'b away, and Ka'b went to other houses, and each time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would inform Hassan radiallahu anhu, and with wisdom he would render these words, until Ka'b with disgrace had to leave Makkah after that. But he didn't stop his plans. He started attacking Islam and the Muslims, trying hard to destroy Islam to such an extent until he reached a level that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Man li Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf? Who will sort out this man who has harmed Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much and harmed the cause of Islam so much? And these Sahaba radiallahu anhum got ready to carry out this important task. Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, Silkan bin Salama radiallahu anhu, Abbad bin Bishr, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, Abu Abs bin Jabr radiallahu anhu, and Harith bin Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They went and they fulfilled this task. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ushered them out of Medina Munawwara. They went and carried out this task, solved this problem, protected Allah's deen, defended the deen of Allah Ta'ala, strove in Allah's path. They worried about it so much. It's reported in the hadith that Muhammad bin Maslama, out of worry, that I took this task for deen, will I be able to fulfill? He stopped eating. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. But what's the matter? Everything is okay. Why are you suffering like this? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I'm worried, will I be able to fulfill? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you play your part, Allah will fulfill at your hands. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged them. And they went. And alhamdulillah, this task was fulfilled so and accomplished so well. At the end, Harith bin Aws was badly injured. And as they returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees their faces and he was so happy. He says, Aflahatil wujuh, successful are these faces. And he made dua for them. He gave them duas. He welcomed them. He was informed of the injury of Harith ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, and instantaneously Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him duas and he was cured. And like this, This is to show how close was Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would carry out these important tasks for the deen of Allah ta'ala and for the defense of the deen of Allah ta'ala. How despicable was Ka'b, because even when the group went to him and asked him for a loan, he said, I cannot just give you a loan. Where's the mortgage? You have to, you know, when will you pay me back? They said, we will pay you. And this is when we'll pay you. He said, no, I want some mortgage. And what I want as surety is your womenfolk. Leave your womenfolk by me and I'll borrow you the money. And I'll enjoy them. And in that, when you come pay me back, you can take your womenfolk back. That was how despicable was the nature of Ka'b bin Ashraf. And alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala sorted him out through Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu and his jamaat. Now, Abbad radiallahu anhu strove his life in the path of Allah ta'ala all along until the reign of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, where he was ready for every task of deen. And under Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there was a time where people had lost their iman. Allah ta'ala save us. That's how an environment can affect a person if one does not protect their iman. Iman has to be protected. We have to protect our iman, we have to preserve our iman. Like clothes, to become clean, effort needs to be made. For it to become dirty, it just becomes dirty like that. So we have to make an effort to keep our hearts clean, to preserve and protect our iman, to keep it intact. A beautiful garden, neglect it. What happens after 6 months? From a garden that was beautiful, it becomes a bush, an infestation of unwanted creatures. So that's what happens to the heart when we stop the effort of iman. Now that time, there was these who were murtaddeen, who were fighting against the deen of Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on different expeditions. And under Khalid radiallahu anhu, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu strove in the path of Allah ta'ala. Like his brother, in the previous time we discussed, Abu Hudayfa bin Utbah radiallahu anhu, and they went in Allah's way. And he wasn't just a scholar of the Quran, but he was a great warrior for deen. He was brave. He was courageous. Rafi' bin Khudayj radiallahu anhu, great Sahabi, very very brave. Rafi' bin Khudayj, you should remember him. Rafi' radiallahu anhu says that I saw Abbad radiallahu anhu, in spite of his injuries and his wounds, big sized people would challenge him and he would get up and go for them. One man calls him from one of the tribes of the Banu Hanifa, the Murtaddin tribe. Ilayya ya akhal Ansar, come to me, O Ansari. I'm not like the other Arabs you've met in the other battles, come. And Abbad radiallahu anhu, in spite of wounds being abundant throughout his body, went for him. And the both of them struck each other. And alhamdulillah, Abbad radiallahu anhu's blow had an impact on his foe. And alhamdulillah, this man's legs were cut off from his shin. And he left him. So this man says to him, please, O noble man, finish off your opponent. And he went back and finished him. And like that, one after the other, he conquered and he defeated. And Rafi' radiallahu anhu says, with such bravery, in spite of his wounds, he strove. And many who were defeated and were badly wounded and were conquered from the enemy would say that Abbad radiallahu anhu it was who defeated me. And it was him who announced and encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, saying, احتموا جفون السيوف وتميزوا من الناس. He would say, remove your sheaths and show yourself, prove yourself to Allah Ta'ala, differentiate yourself, don't leave the task to the next. Each one must say, I am prepared to do. Don't say someone else is doing so I can sit and I can step back. Abbad radiallahu anhu would say this, but in Arabic it's very very eloquent. In English you need many many words to explain it. وَتَمَيَّزُوا مِنَ النَّاسِ, show yourself for Allah. And he would say, come, O Ansar, come this side. And Muhajirin were one side, and each banner, so that no one could become lackadaisical and say that someone else is doing. And like that, 400 got ready with him in this battle of Yamama against the Murtaddeen and the false apostates, false prophets. Leading them was Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and they strove right in front of the garden in which the enemy took refuge in, and he strove in Allah Ta'ala's path. And there it was where he became shaheed, It is reported by Rafi' radiallahu anhu that there were so many wounds on his body. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he said there were so many wounds on Abbad radiallahu anhu's body that I could not recognize his body. It was unrecognizable. There was just one mark on his body through which I recognized him. He was loved by the Sahaba. He became shaheed in Yamama, next to his brother Abu Hudayfa, and next to Salim, Mawla Abi Hudayfa. Three of them passed away near each other. And they were very, very close in this world. Allah kept them together in this world and the next. Abbad radiallahu anhu was so much revered by the Muslims throughout our history, that even Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to name their children after Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. That's how he was loved. Zubair bin Awam, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu's son's name was Abbad. Abdullah bin Zubair, the Sahabi, had a son, he named him Abbad. And he says, this Abbad says, this Tabi'i, مَا سَمَّانِي أَبِي عَبَّادًا إِلَّا بِهِ بِعَبَّادِ بْنِ بِشْرٍ الْأَشْحَلِ. My father named me Abbad after the great Sahabi, Abbad bin Bishr al-Ashhali radiallahu anhu. What a meaning, what a name. The one who devotes his time to Allah. The one who worships Allah ardently with devotion, a devout worshipper. Allah give us tawfiq to worship Him profusely. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful Sahaba radiallahu anhum's lives and love them and learn about them and share their incidents amongst humanity. Allah give us the sweetness of salah like our hero Abbad ibn Bishrin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's an amazing hadith the Sahabi radiallahu anhu narrates. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'shar al-ansar, antumu shi'ar wal nasu dithar. فَلَا أُوْتَيَنَّ مِنْ قِبَلِكُمْ. O Ansar, O the Ansar, you are my inner garment, that vest that touches my body, that is you. You are equated to be the closest to me, and everyone else is the outer garment, the shawl and the cloak. So Ansar, you are so close to me. فَلَا أُوْتَيَنَّ مِنْ قِبَلِكُمْ. I never ever want to be harmed, or hurt, or attacked from the side of you. What that means is, if someone little distant from you hurts you, you can tolerate it and you can still carry on. But when the closest of people to you cause any takleef to you, that is unbearable. This was how close the Ansar were to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this to the Ansar, and who is the narrator of the hadith, and part of the addressees of this hadith is none other than Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He became shaheed in the path of Allah ta'ala when he was just 45 years young. Striving in Allah's path. Let us send Isfal al-Thawab and let us ask Allah Ta'ala to accept us for the effort of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and let us share the deen of Allah. Share Allah's deen, because through Sahaba deen reached us. Through us deen has to go to humanity. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.